You are listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Prepare to be enlightened, entertained, and moved to grow as you hear practical advice on building and enriching the experience of worship at your church. And now, Dr. Craig Gilbert.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast. Our podcast is here to help you with any and all aspects of church planning and development, but with a special emphasis on congregational worship. I am your host, Dr. Craig Gilbert, founder and lead consultant of Purposed Heart Ministries, and I'm happy to be with you each week to talk about important issues that so many churches must face every day. Please help us share this podcast in your favorite social media sites or by word of mouth. If you find something beneficial here, please don't keep it to yourself. Share it around. We're starting to build a following and an audience, and all of your help is getting us there. And we appreciate it, not just because we're getting a broader audience, but also because you are able to help others get the same kind of help that you are getting. Today, I'm excited to talk about a very common and yet complicated and often filled with all kinds of baggage topic on how we deal and live with and learn and love from and benefit from volunteers, those wonderful people that help every church be able to do what they do in a way that they can't possibly staff. Even the super big churches spend most of their time developing volunteers because you just can't staff every position. So whether your church is all volunteer or whether you're a mixture of staff and volunteer or maybe you're mostly staff with just a few volunteers, today we're going to talk a little bit about volunteers and how we can work as worship leaders to enable and empower the volunteers that serve in our worship services, even if we're volunteers ourselves. And I want to recognize that. I want to say thank you to those of you who are serving as pastors. I know that some pastors are almost volunteers in the amount of time their dual career, and they spend a whole lot of uncompensated time at their churches. And then I know many, many worship leaders who are volunteers trying to lead a team of volunteers. And so I've said that word a lot, and I will say it a lot throughout this podcast, but I want to start this podcast by just saying thank you. Thank you to all of the volunteers and for your efforts on behalf of the churches that you serve. It's not easy, I know, being a volunteer, and it's certainly a rewarding and worthwhile endeavor when you find the right position with the right leader and the right opportunity. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, what I want to do is talk about volunteer relationships. So those of you who are volunteers, try not to get offended, but not every volunteer is like you. I'm sure that if you're listening to this podcast and you're a volunteer, that you're a dedicated volunteer, that you you take your volunteering very seriously. You take the position that you've offered to serve in very seriously, and you probably do the work that you're called on to do. But many of us are challenged by volunteers that are not always up to the tasks that they've asked to be responsible for. And so we are challenged to try to lead them in moving forward and learning and becoming the volunteers that we need them to be. So today I just want to talk about volunteering in general and some of the key areas that you probably have volunteers in your worship ministry and some of the things that you can do to really maximize their efforts and really ensure that the work that they're doing is getting the results that you need them to get. So let's start with one of the oldest and dearest volunteer positions that many worship services have, and that's ushers. And I want to say that regardless of whether you're a volunteer leader or a paid leader, the ushers are one of your first lines of communication and impression to your congregation, and it's imperative that your ushers are wonderfully trained, wonderfully gifted, and that they serve with a willing heart. So the only way that you can kind of ensure that is if you are actively involved with your ushers. If you're a leader who is not paying a lot of attention to ushers, that you're relying on an usher leader to do all of the work. And I'll be honest with you, I've worked in churches where nobody really wanted me to be involved with the ushers. But I will say that that's just not an option. You really need to be highly involved with your ushers, finding out how they're run, how their schedule is built, being in close communication with whoever is operating as the usher coordinator. If you're being called on to be the usher coordinator, you really want to work this like a small group. You want a high level of connectivity in it. You want to be constantly sending out communication and staying involved and knowing what's going on. If an usher goes in a hospital or an usher family member goes in a hospital, that's something that you want to be involved in, not just your pastors. Because as you build that relationship and it gets closer, the ushers become that much more willing to serve in a way that you're asking them to serve as you start to vision and see how ushers can help you in congregational recruitment and in congregational retention, in getting information out. Ushers also play a very key role. I've worked in a church recently where we were honored and privileged to have an emergency coordinator on our staff. And our ushers were essentially first responders. They were trained to not only know how to evacuate the building, but know how to engage with an emergency as far as any type of medical emergency or some type of disturbance. Our ushers were given the opportunity to receive training on how to best serve in those capacities. And I'll tell you, it was amazing to see these ushers go through that training and understand that they were now well-equipped to help us in that way. If you are a small church, this really wasn't on my agenda today, but I want to go ahead and go there. If you're a small or medium-sized church, perhaps you haven't really thought of your ushers in that way, but in today's climate, for people to know that ushers are trained in emergency procedures for the church, I think would go a long ways toward improving your congregation's comfort in worship. So try not to take these ushers for granted and try not to take their volunteerism for granted. Spend some time building those relationships. Handle difficult ushers with care. Give them respect. Spend the time with them, though. And I think that's what I see most of all is we don't spend enough time with our volunteers, especially when it comes to preparing groundwork so that when there is a conflict or there may be a disagreement, that we already have a relationship in which we are based so that we can solve some of those problems. Much like your ushers, your greeters in your worship service are also people who should be well-trained and at the top of their game, because they are giving, again, that first point of contact. And I would say that you treat the greeters the same way that you treat the ushers, a high level of connectivity, a high level of being involved in their lives, being involved in their ministry, knowing who they are, knowing what their difficulties are, providing ministry care for them, and most of all, appreciating them. Again, you may not have the greatest greeters in the world, but that's not their fault. It's something that you have to work with as a worship leader to train them and prepare them and get them ready for the role that you're asking them to serve. Besides ushers and greeters, another great place that we tend to have volunteers is in our worship space preparation. I know many of the churches, especially United Methodist churches, have things they call an altar guild. These are some wonderful people who know the history of the church, are invested in the history of the church, they're invested in how the church looks. And so often, any kind of brush up or conflict or disagreement with this group of people often is, again, occurs because of not enough contact, not enough relation building, whether it's hosting a lunch for these wonderful people or just, again, being highly connected to them, knowing where they are, what they're going through, being ready with pastoral care if something is needed. But sharing your vision for space, your pastor's vision for space along and hearing their vision for space and trying to work closely with them. This can be a great, great relationship as you start to see your visions and their visions come to light and you get new insight from them. And all of a sudden, your worship space is more than any of you could have imagined. Now, that's not to say that these can't be difficult relationships, especially in a church where change is not welcome and you are being asked or you feel led to make changes in the environment of the church. Working closely with these people will help you navigate some of that. But again, there are, you know, there are some difficulties in that. And we'll talk about those in just a minute, not just with your decorators, but with any of your volunteers. Another area that most churches have volunteers is in their AV tech. Either their sound person or their slide person or their light person or all of those persons. Sometimes all of those are one person. This can also be a point where there's a volunteer doing their best, maybe bringing some expertise into the field from what they do for a living or what they've done for a living in the past. Here, this relationship is a little bit different from the ushers and the greeters and the altar workers, because these folks have a direct responsibility to the quality of the worship experience as it is met on stage, as it is produced on stage. And so this is a higher level of communication. This is a higher level of commitment, a higher level of connection. This is a person that you should be meeting with on a regular basis, trying to make sure that they're in the loop, make sure that they know what's going on, make sure that they're part of your plans and that you hear from them. They're the ones who can make you sound good or sound bad, and it is imperative that you spend time with them, training them, making sure that they're very clear on what it is that you're looking for. And we'll talk about difficulties with this. Again, the joy of this relationship is when it's done well. And we'll talk about difficulties in a minute. And then, of course, another level of volunteerism is actually on the platform, whether it's the people in your band, the people in your choir, people who read, people who pray. There's a lot of areas where volunteers come into contact with worship and provide leadership and support in worship. And so I would offer you again that this is a communication opportunity. This is a time to be doing more than just assigning duties. This is a time to know who these people are, be in a relationship with them, making sure they're part of the planning, and knowing that they are doing their best. Let me finish this podcast with three steps to developing a better relationship with your volunteers. For step number one, is to pray for them. If your volunteers are not part of your regular prayer list, make sure that they become part of your regular prayer list. Pray for them by name, pray for them by job, pray for their families. Many of your volunteers are only there because there's a family member at home taking care of kids or cutting grass or making sure that the homestead is taken care of while this person is at church giving of their time to you. So never fail to appreciate that and to pray for them. Number two, hold them accountable. So many churches treat volunteers with kid gloves to the point where they're no longer held accountable. They're no longer treated as if the jobs that they do and doing them well are important. Instead, they're treated as if we hurt their feelings, they may not do this anymore. And that may be true, but the problem is they have volunteered to be part of your worship environment. And there's a lot of responsibility there, both spiritual and physical, and in the environment of the church, being responsible for their ability to connect to the gospel, their ability to connect to the word, their ability to connect to each other. So holding a volunteer accountable, I don't think is a bad thing. I think how we do it can be bad. Treating anyone with disrespect, even if they're paid, is never going to be a good thing. But when you hold a volunteer accountable, my first question is, were they capable of doing the job that you've put them in place to do? You know, your first responsibility is to look at yourself. And have I provided them with the training? Yes, I have. Have I provided them with opportunities to get better? Yes, I have. Have I given them a job that they're not capable of doing? Well, maybe. And if that's so, then that's still on me. But holding a volunteer accountable and encouraging them to meet goals and meet expectations is not a bad thing. And there are times, I will admit it, there are times when you are faced with having to fire a volunteer. And that is not an oxymoron. You need to help a volunteer find another place to go. So if that ever happens, please help them find another ministry. Don't just kick them out of the ministry that they're serving in, but make sure that they understand why the move is being made. They may or may not agree with it. You're probably not going to be able to make them happy, but you can at least try to help them find another place to serve if that is at all possible. So we're going to pray for them. We're going to hold them accountable. And then last but not least, we're going to love them. These people are doing something that they obviously love and obviously want to do. And so we should love them for that. And we should love them because God has obviously placed something in their heart and given them a call for ministry. And so we need to love them. Even as we hold them accountable, we can love them. And we can present everything in love and we can treat them with love. The worst thing that I've seen worship leaders do and pastors do to volunteers is treat them like servants or treat them like they owe you something or like they owe the church something. That is just so far from the case. And mistreating, abusing, failing to, and I'm not talking about physical abuse, but I am talking about emotional abuse. I'm talking about verbal abuse. I've seen this happen. And this is not how we are called as Christians to live and serve God. And it's certainly not going to benefit our volunteer program. Being able to love our volunteers the way we want to be loved, recognize our volunteers the way we want to be recognized, is a huge piece of this puzzle. Volunteers they can be the joy of our lives and they can make us pull our hair out. I've been on both sides of that issue with a volunteer, and every single time it's different. Every single time the solution is different, and every single time I'm looking for God's help in how to deal with either the joy or the pain of a volunteer. But regardless of how your volunteers are working, regardless of how your success or failure is with volunteers, you need to take that three-step approach and really be in relationship with your volunteers. So pray for them. Hold them accountable, but love them. Hold them accountable in love, the same way that God holds us accountable in love. And I think then you will start to see a healthier and better relationship between you and your volunteers, and hopefully a higher productivity level and a higher success level with the ministries that your volunteers are being asked to run. So, volunteers, gotta love them. And do your best to love them well. Next week, we're going to shift to a two-part series on your audiovisual systems. We're going to talk about working on improving your existing systems, things that you can do to identify and target improving what you already have. And then the following week, we're going to look at building relationships with those AV teams, different types of relationship-building activities, and other things that you can do to improve the work of your AV team in a way that is substantial and that people will notice. So if you're an AV person or have responsibility for AV, make sure you join us for the next 2 weeks as we look into that world. And I will tell you that here in just a few short weeks, we are also going to deal with a four-part series on job search, on hiring candidates, looking for candidates. What does it mean when an opportunity presents itself in your congregation for a new position or for refill or for filling an existing position? So looking ahead, we have a lot of different things coming up. We're going to talk about team building training. We're going to talk about creativity, and we're going to talk about burnout eventually. So this is going to be a fun few months, a lot of great topics coming up. And if any of those things sound interesting to you, just keep checking back. This podcast, as always, is here for you and for you to be able to help with your ministry and to grow. You can always go to PurposeHeartMinistries.com and see the resources that we have there. Drop me a line, Craig@PurposeHeartMinistries.com, or make sure that you share this with other people if you're getting a benefit out of it. Ask them to go back and listen to some of our archives. Every single podcast we've done is available on our website, on Apple iTunes, and several other locations. So spend some time with our podcast looking back at, if you've just discovered us, look back at some of the topics that we've covered. But most of all, I pray that God continues to bless you, your ministry, your church, and I will be happy to talk to you again next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Want more from Craig? Be sure to join us online at PurposedHeartMinistries.com. We look forward to having you join us again next week.